Hey, hey, it's Shay Keister, and I'm your host for the Casual Cattle Conversations podcast, where we connect you to ranchers and beef industry enthusiasts who can help you build a more profitable operation and improve your lifestyle. Are you looking for a community of ranchers who support and challenge you to be more profitable and proactive? Then sign up for our monthly Rancher Mind events. Rancher Minds are mastermind events for ranchers to come together once a month and find solutions for their own and the industry's challenges. Stay connected by following Cattle Convos on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter, and never miss an episode or event update by signing up for our newsletter on casualcattleconversations.com/newsletter. If you get value out of this episode or any episode, drop a comment or tip me by using the link in the show notes. With that, let's see who our guest is today and connect you to a new resource to improve your own operation and lifestyle. Welcome to the show, or welcome back if you are a returning listener. Before we jump into this episode, I just want to let you know that I am booking speaking engagements for 2022. If you're interested, please either email me or DM me on social media. I've talked about anything from advocacy to entrepreneurship to podcasting before. So I'm definitely interested in that. Now, let's talk about who we're going to visit with today. And today we are visiting with Tara Vander Dusen, who you may know as the New Mexico Milkmaid on social media. However, she's going to talk with us about some actionable tips to amplify your advocacy. We talk about how she got started and some social media advice for you as a fellow advocates. With that, let's hear what Tara has to share. But first, let's hear what program our friends from the Red Angus Association want to share with you to help you gain more value from your calves. Value-added programs are on the rise in the beef industry as input costs increase and margins remain tight. Enterprising producers are exploring new ways to improve their return on investment and open doors to new marketing avenues. The Red Angus Feeder Calf Certification Program, the most mature value-added program in the beef industry, is expanding and helping more producers earn premiums on their calves. The FCCP combines three important components into a single value-added program: genetics, source, and age verification. Cattle producers recognize the value of the yellow FCCP tag and continue to see market-topping premiums for a minimal investment by enrolling their Red Angus sired calves. For more information on Red Angus value-added programs and the FCCP, please visit redangus.org. Thank you for hopping on the show today. It's great to meet you again over Zoom. Hopefully someday we can meet in person, but would you start off and really introduce yourself and talk about your background in agriculture?
Yeah. So first of all, thank you for having me on. I'm really excited to share with you today. Yes, I hope we get to meet in person some point, but Zoom will do for now. So my name is Tara Vander Dusen. I share online as the New Mexico Milkmaid. So if you follow me online, that's probably what you know me as. I grew up on a dairy farm in eastern New Mexico. And when I went away to college, it sounds so cliche, but I didn't think I was going to come back to the farm. I thought I was going to do something different. I didn't really know exactly when I first started college what I wanted to do. But while I was going to college, my dad actually was working with our state environment department to work through the regulations and requirements for dairy permits in our state. And I ended up just really finding it fascinating and I found that there was a big disconnect between dairy farmers and the regulators, that I felt like they had the same goal. They just weren't speaking the same language. And so I ended up going to school, got my degree in environmental science, and came back, married a dairy farmer just down the road. We now live on his family dairy farm with our two girls. And I spent the last 10 years working as an environmental consultant for dairies throughout the Southwest. So my husband does all day-to-day operations in the dairy farm. And then I have clients and that are dairies and farms throughout New Mexico that I consult on.
Well, that is awesome. And I know, like, you know, we talked before, like,
yes, your dairy, this is a beef podcast, but ultimately the industries are connected, and it is super important that, you know, today we're talking about advocating, and we need to advocate for both industries, really. So, you know, the environmental side, that's super interesting, but really looking at your social media platform, you know, what made you want to start advocating on social media?
Yeah. And I'm so glad you said that about beef, because I like dairies are focus, but beef is our second biggest producer on a dairy farm. And I feel like sometimes that goes not like unnoted, but it just isn't something that's always a shared, like it's like, oh, they're beef ranchers and they're dairy producers, but it's so much more intertwined, especially now, even on our dairy, you know, we're breeding to Angus crosses. So, you know, beef is even more like upfront in our minds nowadays. And so then to the social media side. So it's kind of, it wasn't like a straightforward journey for me to start sharing. I had been thinking about it for a while, and I think it seemed like kind of a natural fit for me. I already felt like I was kind of that communicator between dairy farmers and regulators. And so with the idea of being able to share online kind of came about. It seemed, yeah, just very natural to then move into being, you know, a liaison between farmers and consumers. And then another part of that was, at that same time, I was kind of thinking about, you know, what I wanted to share online. I had, you know, my young daughter who was only like 18 months old. And so I, as most millennial moms, joined a bunch of Facebook groups when I became a mom and was, you know, seeing what you were supposed to feed your kids, when you were supposed to feed them, what type of milk were you supposed to give them? Like I was seeing all those comments, all that information. And I was seeing a ton of misinformation at the exact same time. And I was really surprised to see how much of the misinformation wasn't about like the nutrient content or, you know, what was in milk. It was about like the environment and environmental regulations and, you know, the sustainability piece. And so I just felt like it was just a very like perfect fit. Cause I think before that, I didn't know exactly what I would share. I don't work like directly with the cows. I don't have a traditional job on our dairy farm. And so when I started seeing these conversations around sustainability and the environment, it was just like, yes, that's what I do. That's what I should be sharing about. And so at the third piece of my story is of how I started sharing, the actual day I started sharing was we actually had a freak blizzard. We don't have blizzards in New Mexico. We had a blizzard. I woke up and I shared just like a very heartfelt post. It ended up going viral. And I kind of was just like, now or never. So that day I sat down, started my blog. And then it's just kind of grown. I started with a blog. Then I went to Instagram. I've added Facebook. I finally started sharing on Twitter for better or worse. I don't know. So it's kind of just, you know, it was just, it evolved and has changed over the years. So that was probably the longest answer ever. And I'm sorry, but that's how I started sharing online.
Well, you know, I think it's important that that was a long answer, because as you look at different people in different individuals, different advocacy journeys, I think it is a lot of things that pile up and finally get to that point mm-hmm. of, hey, now or never, this is how I'm going to advocate, because advocacy comes in so many forms, whether that's in person, just that in person word of mouth, or if it is that social media factor.
Yes. And I think that that is kind of one of my tips actually for sharing is definitely like, it's easy to look at an influencer wherever they're at, an advocate, and say like, oh my gosh, I could never get there. You have to remember, like we all started, I've been sharing for 6 years online. Like this didn't, I didn't just wake up and have like a social media following. I started sharing to friends and family. I felt really stupid because I was felt like I was just sharing to, you know, people that already knew me. Like I remember my first intro post, it was like, hi, I'm Tara. And I, you know, I'm an environmental scientist. And it felt so stupid because I think I had like 300 followers. But for me, I just had to wake up. Like it was literally one day where it was like, okay, today my Instagram is now about advocacy. That's a hard word. And that was it. Like then from then on, my page has been about that. And, so I feel like that was the easiest way for me to tackle it, is just to be like, okay, today's the day, like I'm sharing, and transition kind of from a personal page to, you know, a more ag focused, you know, sharing page.
Excuse me. So with that, you took the personal page that you already had and you transitioned it. You just kept that same page and transitioned it into an advocacy page. You didn't start a separate one.
I didn't. So I started with my blog, and now I feel like I was a year or two into my blog before I really decided to start sharing on Instagram, which now looking back, I'm like, why did I do that way? But that was how I did it. I had just been sharing my blog post to my personal Facebook and my personal Instagram. And so, yeah, I took my personal Instagram and just changed the name to match my blog and started sharing on it. And I started archiving some of the older posts or things I didn't want to be on the page. But I knew that I didn't really want, like, it, I didn't care about actually having like a personal Instagram page. And I know that's different for everybody. Some people like having just a regular Instagram page where they can share about their kids and, you know, kindergarten graduation or, you know, grandmother's birthday. For me, I didn't really care about sharing that anyway. Like, that's just, I feel like when you share online so much that it's nice to just keep the rest of it personal, I feel like. So I just transitioned my personal page right into a business page. To the creator page as it is now.
Okay. Now I'm going to kind of backtrack here. A point where you brought up earlier where you said, you know, towards that beginning part of your journey, you were a new mom and you were joining Facebook groups. Now these were groups that were related to the mother side part of your story, but not the agriculture part of your story. So how important do you think that is when you look at yourself as an advocate, as far as being able to connect with other people with different areas in your life?
Yeah. So one of my other tips for sharing online is being just like really having a really good understanding of what your why is. Why are you sharing? Why are you choosing to share? And a lot of my why is really around like misinformation and just misconceptions about dairy farmers, misconceptions about women in ag, women in business, misconceptions just around all of those things. And so for me, a piece of my why is being a mom and understanding that a lot of moms, we are bombarded with information and we have to figure out what is correct, what's misinformation. You know, we're a lot of the weight falls on moms to make the grocery store run and figure out what we're feeding our kids. And with that comes, you know, you go into any grocery store, there's so many labels, there's so much, you know, fear-based marketing. And so for me, a lot of why I share was I wanted the moms in the grocery store to be like, I can pick any milk on the shelf and know it is safe, know it's nutritious, and know that it's good for the environment. Like, I'm not doing harm to the environment. And so I think for me, motherhood is obviously very intertwined with my advocacy, just because that's a phase of life I'm in. I actually was just feeling recently, have kind of noticed that it's become a little bit less in some ways about my advocacy, just as my kids are entering school age, they're going to school more, they're not with me as much, that, you know, I feel like I'm, you know, you transition through life through different phases. But I'm not having nearly as much of the like, okay, well, how do I transition from formula and a bottle to regular milk? Like that for a while was such a piece of my everyday conversation. So it was a piece of my advocacy. And now like, I'm past that phase in my life. And so I think that's why being like really rooted in your why and understand why you're sharing and understand that it does kind of change can be so important and just so helpful for picking out what you're going to share about, what post you're going to write and things like that.
Awesome. So looking at advocacy as a whole within the agriculture industry, what do you see is one of the biggest mistakes people are making on the advocacy front?
Probably comparison. I feel like we all fall into this. I know I still do. Is you see someone else sharing and you instantly think, I should be sharing like that. I should be doing that. I know for years I was like, everyone's on YouTube. I should be on YouTube. And it just was not what I just didn't want to record videos all day. I didn't want to edit videos. Like it just wasn't what I wanted to do. And when I finally like let that go and just decided like, that's great for those people. I'm so glad they're on that platform. I don't want to be on that platform. It allowed me the time and energy to put into other things. For me, like my blog was what started this. And for a long time, I feel like I had let the blog go because I was like, oh, I've got to hustle on social media. And just in the last few months, I've been like, I really loved sharing on my blog more. And I've transitioned back to doing that more. And so I think that I don't know if it's a mistake, but it's what happens. You just compare yourself to other people. You compare yourself to their growth, their pictures, their reels are funnier, whatever it is. And I think the most important thing about sharing, like, is, you know, I said your why, and it goes to that, like, just being true to who you are, be authentic and be like rooted in what you actually want to do. I think that when you do that, it makes you so much happier for other people. Because you realize, like, that's great that they, like, you know, started a merchandise line. I'm so excited for them. That's not something I want to do. So then I feel like it helps with that comparison, that jealousy, that you're like, that's actually not for me. That's not on my path right now. And so I hope that makes sense. But I just feel like that is just one of the hardest things, is you just see everyone's page. And just like, if you started following me today, like, you'd be like, wow, like, she has 45,000 followers. You wouldn't know I've been building on that for 6 years, you know, and all the work and time that went into it. And so just like being, you know, really rooted in yourself and what you're doing and your why is such an important piece of advocating.
Yeah. I mean, and I think, and I really appreciate you bringing up the comparison factor, because that's something all humans face, from my perspective, no matter where it is. But with that, that really, you know, I thought about my own journey with handling comparison as I've started on social media, et cetera. But to me, that kind of goes back to, what does success look like? So what advice do you have for helping upcoming advocates or individuals understand, you know, what can success look like for different people?
Yeah. And obviously I'm going to say success looks different for everyone. This is something we talk about. If you follow Natalie Kovarik, we were launching a course called Elevate Ag. And this is something we talk about actually in our course is, you know, for her, she's really pushing into the merchandise line right now. So she's having great success with that. And for me, success right now is when I book a speaking engagement and I'm like, yes, like that's what I wanted to do. And so it goes again into, I think, setting goals and figuring out kind of what you want to do and where you want to share can help you understand your success, because then it doesn't, it's not, then you don't get lost kind of in the weeds of what success is. For me right now, the success is every time I book that. And so that's my success. For someone else that doesn't have any desire to speak, like, that wouldn't be success. That wouldn't matter to them. Maybe they want to sell direct to beef boxes, you know, and ship beef to someone. For me, I have zero desire to ship beef to anyone, if I'm being honest. And so that's not success for me. And so it just goes back to really thinking about, you know, what you want out of this, and kind of your plan to get there. I also think success varies based on how much time and energy you put into the platforms. It does not have to take up all your time. Obviously, I feel like the more you put into it, the more you're going to probably get out of it, just like with anything in life. But there's varying degrees of success there. Maybe this is just a super small, like, side thing you want to do, is just kind of share your farm story. And so success may just be you getting 5 posts posted to Facebook in a month, you know, like, it's just so different for every single person.
Awesome. And I mean, I'd agree with everything that you said. And it's important to understand that, you know, even in those beginning stages, when it does feel like you're only talking to your friends and family, that's, you're still making progress, and that progress is success. So even if it is only 10 followers, you know, like you said, you've been building on your page for 6 years, and that just takes time.
And what I think a lot of people are finally understanding too, is like the engagement. So like the bigger of an account, a lot of times your engagement is smaller. So the actual percentage of people you're reaching may be less, just because there is so many people. And so sometimes smaller accounts can have huge engagement because every one of their followers sees their posts. And so I feel like people really discount how many people they can reach, even having a small following. Like, you do not have to have tens of thousands of followers to reach people and have an impact. Like, it just does not take that. And so I just think especially with Instagram and the algorithm changes, like, it wants it to be more of a smaller sense of community and your friends and family and your favorite accounts to follow. And so there's definitely power in any number of followers you have. You're reaching somebody. And even if you're not, it's so that you just have no idea, like, who you're reaching. So when I was really small, I think I only had like a few thousand, I ended up having this like workout girl fitness person who had 500,000 followers share about me. I have no idea how she found me. I seriously was such a small account, and she shared about me on her page. And like the amount of people she reached because she shared mine, like it wasn't even my followers that were, you know, seeing the post, it was hers. And so you just never know who's following you and who's seeing the content you're putting out there.
Yeah. And I think that's awesome to remember and really think about as we continue to keep growing. But with that, what are some other tips, some of those actionable tips or advice that you have for advocates?
Yeah. So one tip that I definitely have is consistency, and that doesn't mean posting every day. So I'm going to put that out there right now. Consistency, I believe, is you figuring out what works for you and your schedule. So for one person, maybe consistency is posting just to Instagram 5 days a week. For another person, maybe that's posting to Facebook 5 times a week. Maybe it's only posting once a week. Whatever it is, just being consistent so that your followers know kind of what to expect from you can go a really long way. So they're just like, oh, yep, there's their post. I was expecting to see that. Or if you always show up in stories, you know, maybe that's where you're at more, is just you're in stories. Yep, they know they're going to get to see you every single day doing something on the farm. And so I feel like it doesn't have to be complicated. It just has to be something that you can manage and consistently do.
Awesome. And I mean, I think, you know, that ties back into what you were speaking about with the engagement side of things, because it does, you know, go back to the quality of the post too. Like if you don't have the time to create a post that's going to bring value to your audience, mm-hmm. don't waste your time creating it. That's kind of my perspective. There are weeks, I mean, I always make sure, you know, I'm posting, you know, a minimum of 3 times a week. Sometimes I hit 5, but I know there's certain types of content that I need to put out each week. And after that, it depends on what my time allows for.
I love that you said the word value, because everything you share should be rooted in value, offering value to your community. The more value you can offer somebody, the faster your account's going to grow and just the more engaged people are going to be. And so I'm so glad you brought that up, because that's probably like my next biggest thing, is really thinking about value for your community. You know, are you offering them information about, you know, farming and ranching, like what tools you're using or what your vaccination protocol, or are you offering consumers information about beef? You know, what is your value? And every post should really have that value that is back to like why you're sharing. Like what is your topics? Like I like to think about my topics as like 3 to 4 topics or 4 to 5 topics, depending on where I'm at, that I share about every single week and offering value on those topics. Right now, I probably only have like 3 topics. I've been hitting dairy sustainability and ag sustainability just really hard, and just going back to the real roots of like why I started sharing. And I just try to, right now, one of my focuses is trying to give information to other farmers and ranchers that's like, hey, here's some like fast facts about dairy farming or beef sustainability or whatever it may be. That's where the value I'm really trying to offer. And obviously, I hope consumers see it as well and are like, oh, wow, I didn't know that, you know, animal ag only accounts for 4% of greenhouse mm-hmm. gas emissions. So I definitely am trying to serve both, but I do try to think about the value I add with every post. Like earlier this week, I had been off Instagram for a while. So I kind of just wanted a post that said like, hey, here's what's been going on. Sorry, I've been off. I knew it wasn't going to have great engagement because I wasn't really offering them anything. It was just kind of like a, here's where I'm at. Like, just thought you guys should know. And sure enough, it just wasn't as successful as say my dairy sustainability post, because it wasn't giving anyone anything besides just telling them about me, which is not why people come to my page. People don't come to your page because of you. They want to see the value that you're offering. What are you bringing to your community? That's at least how I like to look at it.
I think, you know, your comments about, you know, sharing information, etc., really brought me to the thought about communicating science. Oh. And I really think that's something as producers or just being involved in these agriculture industries that we need to improve ourselves. So how do you make sure you are effectively communicating science in your advocacy efforts?
Yeah, that's another one of my biggest tips is I always try to tell people to keep it simple. If you can break it down into just bite-sized nuggets, you know, like if I look at a research paper, I see the research paper as that, like the big, you know, the huge elephant. And then you have to just like, what is that saying? Like, how do you eat an elephant one bite at a time? Is really just being like, okay, what is like the biggest takeaway from there that I can put in a Reels caption, like a text on a Reels, you know, and just really trying to make it simple. Like I think with ag, sometimes probably with any industry, when you're so deep in it, it's easy to start using the terminology and the jargon and just get lost in all of that. And it's just, you want those bite-sized nuggets of information. And so that's where I really try to like take a, you know, a research paper and just break it down into the simplest form. And so I think my advice for that is always just like, don't overcomplicate it. Don't get lost in the weeds, and you don't have to share about everything in one post. You have 365 days in the year to share. If you choose to share every day, there's plenty of time, you know, just like keep it really simple and focused on a single thing, especially when it's really sciencey and like just going to get out there. You just don't want to lose people and have them stop reading or stop just, you know, we're so quick to keep scrolling. And so kind of break it down and try to relate it to things that people can understand.
I think all of that offers a lot of value and really helps, you know, easing up the stress of trying to share so much. Because, you know, when I look at what I, when I'm just scrolling on, say, my personal account or, you know, trying to engage with other people, the posts I engage with are your simple, shorter form posts. Like if it gets past, especially because when I look at Instagram on my phone and if it takes up, if the post takes up my whole screen, I don't want to read that, even though like if it was on a computer screen, it wouldn't look that bad. Like it wouldn't seem like that much.
Yeah.
It's because a lot of people are consuming on our phones that sometimes it just feels like you're reading, you would have to read a lot more, which makes it, you know, less likely to engage in. I mean, that's my perspective on it.
And I was going to say, I feel like that depends on every person. So one of the things I recommend to people when they're looking at their post is go back and look, you know, Instagram has great insights. Go back and look at what are your most, you know, engaged with post, and what does the caption look like? What does the photo look like? You know, is the photo like a selfie? Are you in it? Or is it of cows? Or is it of the landscape? What does your caption look like? Is it short or long? Because there are people out there that share really long captions that are great. And that's what their followers have come to expect. That's what they want to see. And so maybe that is your thing, is really long captions that are really heartfelt or meaningful or whatever it may be. And so one of the best ways to see that is, you know, to go back and look and to experiment, you know, do longer ones and see what happens for a while and see if you enjoy them, see if it feels good to you and if your community reacts to it, or do shorter ones. I mean, it goes back to how everyone just needs to be authentic to them and what works for them. And you'll find, you know, your people and your community. And so it varies so widely, which is what's great about the internet. There's literally millions of people out on the internet. And so you'll find your people that are interested in the content you have to share.
Absolutely. So as we kind of start wrapping up here today, do you have any extra advice or resources that you want to share with my audience?
Yeah. So I have a few things. If you are deciding to share, one of the most, my best advice is just start. Like just start. You don't have to have some big fancy website. You don't have to have a huge plan for Instagram or Facebook. Sometimes just getting started is the easiest way to do it. You know, just today, this is the week I'm going to share three times on Facebook. And as simple as that can just be the encouragement you need to really get going. As far as resources and tools, if you go to my website, newmexicomilkmaid.com, my pop-up is actually a free resource guide for advocacy for beef and dairy. And so if you enter your email in there, I'll send you a PDF that has links to all sorts of things. I have it broken down into like greenhouse gas emissions, water, nutrition. And that way it's just quick and easy to be able to be like, I want to share about water today. I need some facts. And I have some guides in there. We are launching Elevate Ag on March 7th. This will be a beta launch. Our full launch will be in May, and Elevate Ag will be an e-course that really helps farmers, ranchers, and producers understand how to share online, how to share in person, just all forms of advocacy that you can kind of think of, and giving them even more tools and resources and things that they need to really get started. And then finally, we'll be launching our Elevate podcast at the end of April that will be a little bit more business strategy focused, as far as for people who are really wanting to turn their business, use like social selling. And, you know, if you're in direct to beef consumers, direct to consumers beef, there we go. We'll be kind of, you know, breaking down all sorts of business strategies. So those are kind of the resources and things that currently I have coming up in out of my projects.
Well, those are all very exciting. And I know your beta launch will line up right about when this podcast episode releases. Yeah. So that should be awesome. But with that, thank you for hopping on the show today and sharing your experience and some actionable advice, and really diving into some of those harder conversations about comparison and success, and helping my listeners understand what consistency and all that really looks like.
Yeah. Thanks for having me on. I hope that people found value in it. And if you guys want to give me a follow, like I said, you can find me at New Mexico Milkmaid on Instagram or Facebook or TikTok. And then my website's newmexicomilkmaid.com. And if you're interested in learning a little bit more about Elevate Ag, you can go to eleveyouragstory.com.
Awesome.
Thank you.
Yep. Yeah. All right. So that should be about perfect.
And that's a wrap on that one, folks. Thank you for tuning into this episode, and I'd encourage all of you to evaluate how you can advocate and market the beef product. It can be done in so many different ways, whether that's social media, in person, or wherever you're at. Have a great day, folks, and I'll see you on the next one. And once again, thank you to the Red Angus Association for bringing this episode to you. The cow. No wonder they call her the foundation female. On her shoulders rests the genetic basis of any cow herd, so it's critical she measures up to your expectations for stayability and fertility. How can you create more high-quality females while eliminating the guesswork and upfront costs that accompany heifer development? The Red Angus Association of America has launched Red Choice, a program designed to aid producers in developing the highest quality heifers through genomic testing, AI technology, and veterinarian partnerships. Heifers that meet the criteria are more likely to stay in the herd, propagate the best genetics, and make a positive impact on your bottom line. Learn more about Red Choice at redangus.org.